Books of the Bible. Esther is a story of a Jewish woman who becomes queen of Persia. After a plot to destroy the Jews is uncovered, Esther risks her life to save her people. She appeals to the king, who kills the conspirators and allows the Jews to defend themselves. When you face persecution, remember God is able to save his people through all kinds of circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Some tables should be tipped. Maybe some tables shouldn't be. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you expressed a bit of a concern during the break.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, you said?
I said that there is a time to be divisive.
Absolutely. Did you not hear the first segment? Of course there is.
Right.
But that it is replete throughout the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. If you're a prophet, if you're running the temple wrong, you get judged. You're a prophet who makes a false prophecy, you get stoned. That's pretty judgmental. Amen. All for it. And you brought up the subject of Jesus tipping over the table in the temple.
Correct.
And I think that that is an example of a time when we can tip a table. What was causing Jesus so much grief? Blasphemy, a perversion of the Jewish system, a besmirching of the temple, the place where God would meet with his people. They had turned it into a merchandise market, a place of profiteering, turning what was always a religion of grace into a religion of purchasing and works. And Jesus saw that and he tipped the tables. And that is a time that would be appropriate. And all I'm saying is sometimes we see something, we recognize, hey, it's a table, meaning it's a big deal, but perhaps at this particular season, we are not discriminating well to determine which tables should be tipped and which tables shouldn't be. The Baptist General Union in Great Britain, tip that table. Identifying false teachers like Benny Hinn, you can't do that. Tip that table. That's easy on those issues. Those are tables worth tipping. Anything about the essentials of the faith, anything that undermines the Bible, any church that is playing fast and loose with the Bible while claiming, yes, we believe the Bible is God's inspired word, tip that table. But there's a number of issues in our society that appear to be tables because they're such big issues. And here's where it gets even trickier. These issues, they have made their way into the church to varying degrees. So it would be very easy to say, hey, those aren't just social and political issues. Those are issues that are inside of the church. You're right, because they've been brought into the church. But I still need to discriminate rightly. Before I can determine if I'm going to tip that table, I've got to ask myself the question, what is that table exactly? Is that a table, as it makes me, something that the Lord says, go ahead and tip that? Or is it something where we can say, you know what, kind of hot about that issue. I'm pretty passionate about that subject, but not going to tip that table. Meaning, I'm not going to part company with somebody who has a disagreement with me. In about a week, less than that, I decided to call a group of pastors into the Wretched Studios. We're going to record this for TV. I suspect we'll play it here on Wretched Radio. These pastors are solid. They've been in ministry for a long time. And they are going to come together at my invitation to discuss these issues like COVID, mass, jabs, opening, CRT, politics, election integrity, Christian nationalism, gun laws, school choice. How do we navigate our way through these things? Because this is what I know. I know this to be true. Local pastors are feeling the pressure to tip some of these tables. And if they're not yet ready to do that, which they might one day do when we have consensus on these things, until then we're tipping the table on you, Pastor. And I see that happening a lot. And honestly, that has to stop. It just has to stop. we are going to be a man or a woman on an island with a church of one. And even then, with the poor judgment and the lack of restraint and judgment, we're going to be kicking ourselves off the island because we can't even get along with our own positions. I am not suggesting that we lose sight of being vigorous defenders of the truth. That is not the Bible must be understood, not singularly, but in the whole. So for instance, and I've heard people do this, Jimmy wasn't doing this, but they bring up the table tipping thing, and it's like, no, we disagree, tip that table. Well, no. First of all, in the immediate context, you need to understand what that table was and why Jesus tipped it. Okay, that's letting the text speak for itself. But then there's other parts of the Bible that are equally inspired, whether in red or black ink, that tell me, hey, there's times, don't be judging a brother. Consider Romans 14. It's three, maybe four times we are warned about how we are to not be critical of one another and demeaning toward one another. Romans 14, it's dealing with meat in the marketplace, and it's hard for us to imagine. But that issue back then, that was hot. That was, is that a table? Do we get to tip it? There were differences of opinion on it. You and I, we look back on that, and it seems almost downright foreign to us, but it wasn't foreign to them. And what does Paul say? Look, I'm going to render the verdict here. It's okay to eat meat, but don't be judging one another. Both of you, both parties, don't be judging one another. Because this is an issue that while, yeah, it's a hot button, it was worthy of Paul addressing it. Not once, but twice to the Corinthian church and to the Roman church. Apparently, it was a hot enough issue that it demanded some of Paul's attention. So this was not a light thing. And he tells them, let me just share with you, Romans 14 starts this way. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. What I'm saying is some of these issues at the moment, they might not be doubtful in your mind, but we haven't sorted all of them. Until we do, we shouldn't be violating what Paul says. Receive one who is weak. Let's say you've got it right. You've got all of this sorted. I'm not being sarcastic. You've got it figured out, and you are quite firm in your position. Okay, this is what Paul would say. Then receive one who is weak in the faith, not to dispute over doubtful things. And he talks about the meat being sacrificed to idol. But listen to what he says in verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? You're going to give an account to God. So am I. So is Jimmy. Not for our sins, but for our works. Our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have responsibilities with one another? Yes. Has he implemented systems of authority for one another? Yes, he has. But ultimately, we all submit to King Jesus. We answer to him. This is a snappy rhetorical question. Who are you to judge another's servant? I'll put it this strongly. Who do you think you are? Whoa. I'm not trying to poke a finger in anybody's eyes here. I'm just saying this is what the other part of the Bible says. So you got table tipping, and then you got meat sacrifice to idols. And you've got Paul saying, careful, to his own master he stands or falls. He will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. And then he talks about one day, it's so arguing over the Sabbath and festivals, and he reminds us again, no one lives to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. To this end, we as Christians, to this end, Jesus died and rose again. Verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? Uh-oh. It's getting into our hearts, isn't it? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then each of us, verse 12, will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, is this the third or fourth time? Let us not judge one another anymore, but resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. And then guess what comes next in verse 14? Your headline in your Bible at the division says, the law of love, the law of love, that it is love that leads our judgment. You say, whoa, wait, hold on. I'm not talking about the world or the devil. I'm talking about with a brother or sister, hoping all things, enduring all things, loving one another. And here's where it gets tricky. Some people just do that, and they fail to judge righteously. They fail to mark. They fail to tip over any table because, well, we just gotta love. But on the other hand, let's all do this exercise for ourselves. I'll do it. You do it. Is it possible? Maybe. Maybe. I need, in my judgment, a little bit more love. Didn't say I never judge. I'm just asking. Should we all self-examine and ask, in my judgment, in my firm conservative convictions, do I possibly need a little bit more love? This is Wretched Radio.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. And I wanted to take just a moment to say thank you to our incredible gospel partners. Together, we're not just throwing seed, we're actually nurturing an entire forest. And your partnership is more than just a monthly commitment. There have been lives touched, there have been hearts changed, and there have been souls comforted. And while we don't have a giant thank you banner that we can fly over your house, though that would be pretty cool, and then we do have countless stories of lives impacted by your generosity. Every prayer you've prayed, every dollar you've given, it's like a ripple effect across the massive ocean. Thank you for standing firm with us and for being the backbone of this ministry. And to those of you who are not already gospel partners, well, hey, we would love to welcome you into the family. You can get all of the answers to the questions we know you have right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to your pastor's world. This is Wretched Radio. Mentioned next week, I have invited three really good, faithful pastors to do a roundtable discussion about the issues that they are dealing with today. And I listed some of the explosive issues: the worship wars, COVID, mass jabs, open, close, CRT, politics, election integrity, on and on those things go. But there are other issues that most likely you do not know that your pastor is dealing with as we speak. And it is my intention, my hope, to perhaps open up the door and let these men share what it is that they experience being in the pulpit, being an elder that is responsible for the souls of those in his charge. And I've come up with, and I could have done more, believe me, six categories. And perhaps if you have been a bit frustrated with your faithful pastor, I'm not talking about a guy who's veering left and going wonky. I'm talking about the guys that are, they're just at it. They love the Lord. They love you. And they're trying. And the elders are trying. But you see that there's something you've identified that's deficient. Fair, and you can do that. I'm not suggesting you can. But maybe you've become a little bit agitated with your pastor. And something that might moderate that a bit is recognizing what the guy's dealing with. So for instance, I've got church business. Do you know what your pastor does throughout the course of the day when it comes to dealing with the church property? He's dealing with plumbers, electricians, cleaning crews, contracts, insurance, government issues. Whatever breaks, that guy needs to suddenly become an expert. You say, well, that's just a part of his job. Okay, well, all right. Different people have different views on that. But that's, I don't think, a course in seminary that he took to become a business guru. Now, furthermore, the pressure these days for him to be a business guru and a leader, a management expert. He's got challenges with elders, finding them, growing them, elder betrayal. It happens. And he's dealing, I can assure you right now, your pastor is very mindful of the elder board. He's aware of where they're at. He's aware of their temperament. He's aware that they need more. They've got too many, and he's dealing with it. You say, well, he's not lifting boulders. I know, he's not. But then let's call this a pebble. But there's about 7,000 pebbles that make up for a really big boulder. And we just need to know it. How to best serve the community? You've got one group saying, oh, no, we need to be organizing to go to the abortion clinic. And to that I say, amen. I agree. And by the way, did you see abortions are up? 1 million abortions last year. Numbers are up. This is why. Legislation, it ain't going to get the job done. We want it. We want the legislation. It does save some lives. But we need to change hearts. We need to change minds. We need to help people understand what it is inside of the womb and how God feels about that growing organism that we call a human being. That's where the battle is, and that is where it's going. We give up on that, I'm telling you. The abortion just keep going up and up and up, which would be a good time to remind you and encourage you, please support Preborn Ministries. They're still in the game, and they don't just, like that's a small thing, save babies' lives. They preach the gospel. That's what ends the cycle of abortion for so many. They become born again. And that is exactly what they focus on at Preborn Network Clinics. To learn more, to support them, please visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. On the other side of the aisle, you've got somebody saying, clothing! We've got to provide clothing. No, it's a food pantry. That's what your pastor's dealing with. What about financial pressure? Do you think your pastor ever deals with that? How much money came in this week? He knows if giving is up or down. And just like you and I can get stressed out with our personal finances, and your pastor has those, by the way, he's also got the church financial pressures. Feeling it. That's the tip of the iceberg for your pastor. Hold on. Let's talk about the sheep for a moment. Do you know what your pastor is dealing with when it comes to tending the sheep? Sometimes it means hurting them because there's a whole, H-E-R-D, not hurting, hurting them because there's a whole lot of gossip going on. People are talking. People are spreading rumors. And he's got to deal with those. And he hears them, by the way. What about sheep that just wander away? What about the sheep that attack the shepherd? What about the sheep that are being encouraged by social media to go after the shepherd? Or what about the sheep that have developed this, well, I'll just say it, judgmental attitude that if the pastor doesn't preach as good as fill in the blank, John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, Steve Law, then, oh boy, he's dealing with that. Counseling complex issues, you have no idea how complex the issues are that he's dealing with. No idea. Let's go home for a minute. Let's go look inside the doors of our pastor's home. Just like you and I have family issues, so does he. But he's got even more. Why? Because his job, if you will, has demands on his spouse. You probably don't have that dynamic. Your spouse does one thing, you do another. And your spouse's job doesn't demand that you are participating in his job. But that's what it is like for the pastor. Pressure on the pastor's kids. Do you think they are unaware of what their kids are dealing with and how it's affecting them? Their financial struggles? How's about family time challenges? Like the disruptions that happen. Just imagine this. Just imagine this. For the sake of your pastor, just imagine this scenario. Madam, you've determined I'm going to make a stellar meal for my man. My husband's going to come home and it's going to smell so sweet in here. And so you spend a good chunk of the afternoon. You had to go shopping. You had to do the prep work. You had to do the mixing. And then you did the baking and the cooking. You set the table. And then you get a text or a phone call. Honey, I'm going to miss dinner. I've got to go to the hospital. That happens over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Furthermore, because of the weight of so many of these issues, she knows. Sometimes she just sees the individual who can be present but is absent. Now, this isn't being a passive husband. He's just so consumed with concerns for the sheep that it makes its way into his relationship with his spouse. That's your pastor's world. He's furthermore dealing with time management, sermon prep. I'm here to tell you, it is always on his mind, Willie Nelson. It is always consuming him. He's always thinking about his sermon, always. He's dealing with weddings and funerals and graduations, and he's being ripped all over the place. How does he fit in all of this stuff? The answer is, it's not easy. But then you've ultimately got personal struggles that your pastor endures. Emotional struggles, bearing so many burdens, exhaustion. This is why we see so many pastors burn out and just leave, or they have to go on months of sabbaticals just to sort of get some gas back in the tank. It's a danger for every pastor, and my preference personally is to deal with it, nip, nip, nip it in the bud, and deal with it the way that all of us typically have to deal with it. You get burnt, you're a lawyer and you get burned out, you probably don't get to take 3 months. I think a pastor should be organizing and trying to schedule and working with his elders with such great church support that he doesn't get to that state. Nevertheless, he's dealing with it. How's about a lack of encouragement? Believe me, he gets plenty of criticism. What about feeling ineffective? Just keeps pouring in, and it seems to be a bucket with no bottom. Nobody, this group, this family, this couple, this person, this teenager, trying, 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 and they just don't seem to be able, what am I doing? I feel so ineffective, which leads to an attitude of being just plain bummed out and feeling worthless. There can be fear of man issues. There's the pressure of becoming a leadership guru versus being a faithful minister of the word. He can't confide in people because if it gets out, he's breaking a confidence, and yet I've got this issue to deal with and I don't want to be a talebearer. That's the tip of the pastoral iceberg. So with all of that in view, please, if you've got an opinion on these aforementioned Brave New World issues, and you've really prayerfully considered, I really should bring this up with the pastor, would you please keep all of these things in mind before you speak to him? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.